Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
What's
Sean was
up,
just
baby?
Touching my ear.
I know, you hit that button. I was just getting ready to say, can I get a little bit of that sweet something? And then you hit the button, so I stopped.
Yeah, that was all planned on my behalf.
Oh, you knew what was coming,
huh? You're just always pressuring.
Get out of, it's not pressure. Dude. Dude.
It's a little pressure when you say it all
Do you
the
remember
time.
When we used to have a goal of once a day on average?
That was your goal?
And we were meeting it.
That's too much information for the podcast.
Well, they don't know what we were doing once a day.
Yeah, it could have been just brushing our teeth.
That's right.
It could have
been flossing.
Just once a day, Sean. If I could get you to floss once a day, maybe your other goals would be met.
The problem is my teeth are so straight and so tight, I can't get that. It's like a rope, trying to get a rope in there.
That's not true.
What?
That's not true.
It is.
You've never had the floss break off in your teeth like I have.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
That's what happens
when you're
tight.
You're using the wrong kind of... Oh, I know what happens
when
you're tight.
Oh, no. Now it's explicit.
It's not explicit. We're talking about teeth here.
When you have very tight teeth.
Or lack of teeth.
I have a lot of teeth.
I know that. I was a...
Anyways, this is the random thought. Poor people. I'm so sorry. It'll be interesting soon, maybe. And
here, I have a random thought.
Is it about ears?
No, it's a radio station that I listen to quite frequently. And you know the two men DJs in the morning time show. That is what I really listen to.
Yeah.
Regularly, because the rest is just music shows. They talk more, but anyways, like immediately after the Titan thing, they had an ad.
Oh, the submarine that imploded.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had an ad.
Oh no!
And it comes on.
I don't want to.
And
know.
It sounds like they're in a hollow space, and they have They have a little noise like tong tong going on, and he's like, "Hey, this is so and so, the DJ's name." I'm just down here in our new mini sub or whatever.
I feel like that's not very cool right now.
Looking for all the gear I've lost over the years duck hunting. And it turns out to be an ad for a fireworks company. And they're like, remember, a big giant, name of the fireworks company, explosion is better than a enormous implosion or something like that.
Oh my god.
Like, it was immediate. I mean,
that's
I think
like
they were.
Soon, man.
I think they were writing it before they even had confirmation.
That's too soon.
I wasn't feeling great about it.
Yeah, you just told everybody else about it.
So what?
Ugh!
It's not for. I was not feeling great about the thing. I kind of put it out there for digestion of other people so they could make their own opinions on it. You know what I mean?
Speaking of opinions, I guess our random thought for the podcast, because we are a Dogs Are Smarter Than People podcast, could be about the world's ugliest doggy champion.
Oh my God.
And that's so subjective. Like,
subjective to what?
Whoever's voting on who's the ugly dog.
Oh, dude.
And, like, then you gotta live up to being...
When it comes down to, like, number 10 through 1, like, the finalists, yeah, it's subjective. But go ahead, baby. Go ahead.
I never get to be the funny one because I, A, am not funny. But B,
you're funny, baby.
But you B, because you always cut me off right before my crescendo of my point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Finish up.
I know it's too late now. No, I don't even remember it.
Oh, that's bullshit.
No, it's not. I don't have a brain.
You know what the problem is? You're the sidekick. Oh, my God. I'm the funny one. You're the sidekick. It's like if I was a magician, you'd be the one in the box getting cut in half.
That is terrifying. Why can't we be equals? This is like a huge setback for females all across the world.
Oh, we're equals in plenty of other arenas. Not in any of the good ones. In fact, you're superior in most of our life arenas.
Really? What am I superior at, mister? Mr. Man.
You're a superior thinker than me.
That's not true.
You're a superior lover of all people than me.
Well, I am kinder.
Because I just hate most people.
He's lying.
Until
he laughs.
Rationalize my thought process. But right off the bat, it's usually hate, right?
You do have a gut instinct for paranoia and hate.
You didn't have to say paranoia. That just makes me sound like a freak.
I think it's just because there was too much pot in your house during your formative
years.
That
was not... What? No. Yeah. That's quite the opposite.
No, I think so.
That comes from somebody that doesn't know crap about pot people. Don't listen to her. Don't listen to her.
I am pretty dumb.
She might have had a gummy or two in her life, but that's about the extent of her experience.
Done anything illegal.
Except steal kayaks off of people's
I've cars. Never stolen anything.
You should see our garage.
I wish our garage
it's so full of old dusty musty kayaks.
If I did steal something, it would be kayaks. What would you steal if you could steal anything and not get, and like it wouldn't hurt gold anybody bars. Else and, all right, well that's logical. sigh
what?
You. So we're continuing the podcast now.
Oh, Carrie's gonna sound all downtrodden.
We went to a little marriage therapy in the 30 seconds of departure where you got to hear the song, but we're back now.
Carrie actually said something so funny off the air.
And he said, oh, well, that was funny. Meaning nothing else I say is funny.
And then I followed up with, see, not only are you the best wife ever, you are funny very often.
He lies. That's a lie. Let's get to the point of the podcast.
What is the point of the podcast?
The point of the podcast, as always, is will our marriage survive the podcast?
Something about self-help.
See, you just did it again.
What?
You cut me off before I could get to my point.
Look at the dog's ears.
Nobody can see the dog's ears except for you, Sean. Okay, so this episode, we're riffing on living in the present tense, which is what life is like with Sean. And it's also about using it a bit in your writing. So, as Peter, do you want to say the quote so you have something to do?
If you say his name.
As Peter Selgin says, quote.
Apart from its ubiquity, there are good reasons to be wary of the present tense. Unlike the present tense, which allows narrators unrestricted movement between the past and the present, unlike the past tense, which allows narrators unrestricted movement between the past and the present, the present tense locks us into each moment, allowing for little, if any, reflection. And while the past tense lets us expand, compress, or bypass events according to their dramatic import, since in the present tense everything is happening here and now, it tends to treat all moments equally, however important or not, so a headache gets as much attention as an earthquake.
So, let's roll it back, right? So, yes. In the writing world, the past tense is a sentence where it's like, I said goodbye, Sean. And the present tense is, I say goodbye, Sean, right?
Right.
It's like, where if the action's happening right this second as you're reading it, or in the past as you're reading it. And this guy is wicked bigoted against the past tense, right? And he's also bigoted against the skills of writers, which I just realized while we were reading this. Because he's like, so a headache gets as much attention as an earthquake. Hell to the no, Peter. Hell to the no. It only does if you as a writer make it.
That's
it's
right.
Like the whole right. The determination isn't just this tense. It's like...
Preach it, baby.
Oh.
Come on.
It's all about all your craft and all your skills.
Let your writer guru out.
I don't. I'm just too angry.
Come on.
Anyways, but
I love it when you're angry.
He does when it's not at him.
At me. Oh, dear God. He can be angry.
So basically the truth is that he continues to go on and say, it says, like, bringing the past into the present's crucial when it's, like, evoking the stuff that's already happened, right? And, like, the present tense, like, restricts your descriptions of settings and characters to impressions, he says. But that's, like, such a linear way of thinking about the world, man. And I do sound like a... You know why I don't smoke pot? Because I don't need to. But that's a linear
reason. I wasn't going to say that.
A linear way of thinking about the world, about them, thinking about them as, like, you're living in a fleeting impression versus your past memory. Because those fleeting impressions become the past memory. And I say past memories are also fleeting impressions. But that's not really the point. The point is that it's kind of harder to write in the present tense because you're confined a little bit more. And hoity-toity writers and readers think of it as a fad or something only women do, even though Dickens did it and the ancient Greeks did it, right?
Yeah.
But people get really pretentious about who writes in the present tense, and it creates a hierarchy of worth in the fiction world.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So here are the advantages of the present tense. Sean?
It's way more immediate because it is indeed in the moment. We are there as things happen.
And?
The immediacy raises the stakes.
It also can reflect the type of protagonist you have. If your main character is someone who lives in the moment and doesn't spend a lot of time with their brain in the past or the future, like if they're a little bit rush in as a human and don't think things through, you can reflect that in the character trait as you write it in that present tense, right?
And it can also show the theme of the work. So if you're writing a Groundhog Day style story, using the present tense can reflect that there is only this one present at the moment, while all the other ones were experienced before and can be changed.
And it makes life easier when it comes to grammar, because there are 12 tenses in our grammar, and present tense stories usually only have 4.
It's easier to make unreliable narrators.
And it kind of feels more cinematic, because those moments... You know, it really bothers me that he said they're just fleeting moments, because there's this whole other thought about writing that's what makes a scene and what makes a book is exactly that. It's the effing moments. It's the moments that you remember. It's the moments that you create for the reader to experience with you. And he makes it sound so unimportant when I think it's one of the most important elements of a story.
Did he say that present tense makes it sound like fleeting moments?
Yeah, he's like, it's just a fleeting moment. So it doesn't have any gravitas.
Well, basically, my rebuttal would be this.
Okay.
Is that each and every one of those so-called fleeting moments that you live in the present tense might be the things that go into your remember for life and affect you and shape you for life filters.
Well, that's kind of what I said before.
I know.
Yeah.
But at the moment, you're not in control of that filter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's more real almost.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you don't control what sticks with you and what doesn't.
As a human, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are also, to be fair, there are also things that suck when you're a writer about the present tense. Like there is that restriction, like time is often compressed and like we can't use more than 4 tenses and hop around as much, right?
Yeah.
I said hope around, you but hop hope around. I would like to hope around.
I mean, we have a friend named Hope, and she kind of hops around.
She does hop.
Like, not man-wise.
No, God, no.
She travels a lot.
Yeah.
So it kind of fit for that.
Yeah. And then other things is, like, sometimes it's hard to show the complexity of the main character, because they're indeed in that moment most of the time, and, like, might feel more simple. And it's harder to foreshadow the things that are going to happen if you're in the first person present tense, because the character doesn't know that they're going to happen yet. So you can't be like, it was going to be the worst day of my life, because they don't
know it. That's right.
And then it sometimes makes us writers meander into tangents and like too much internal thought. And sometimes, like we said, adult readers get
snobby about it.
Right. So how does this relate to our lives? Sean?
Well, according to positive...
No, I want to hear Shawnee thought.
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't know how it relates to
our lives. Well, do you think people should live in the present tense or the past tense?
Oh, no. I don't think people should live in the past. I think as a human being, that's pointless. But I think you should recognize that the past... Everything beyond the current moment you're living in is what shapes you as a person. But that doesn't mean you have to live there if it's not like a positive thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think your current moments shape you too, but yeah. And I think you get reshaped every moment.
That's totally what I'm saying, but you get reshaped the millisecond after that moment happens.
That's cool,
man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not a psychiatrist.
Nor am I. Disclaimer.
Or a sex therapist or anything.
But, what? He just rolled his eyes and he's like, I'm too cute.
I could be a sex therapist, probably.
No.
I could build some healthy sexual relationships between couples and throuples and quadruples. And
I don't
whatever,
think so.
You know.
So that was our dog throwing a toy in here. And so
she's living in the moment.
She always lives in the moment. So according to positivepsychology.com, it's vital to live in the present moment. In our current 21st century lives, it's not easy. There's always something coming up that we need to prepare for or anticipate. And our lives are so well documented that it's never been easier to get lost in the past. Right?
That's right.
Which is super interesting.
That was super interesting. Is that what you said?
Yeah, because, like, you know, I can see that. But I personally am a person who forgets everything that's already happened.
Yes.
I just repress it all. And so, you know, I'll see a Facebook memory and I'll be like, oh, my God, that happened. Like, I remember it once I am triggered to read by reading it. But, like, I don't remember it in my normal day to day. And that's interesting to me. And then I forget it again until I see the memory again. But anyways, they say, given the fast pace and hectic schedules, most of us keep a base level of anxiety, stress, and unhappiness is the new norm. You may not even realize it, but the tendency to get sucked into the past and the future can leave you perpetually worn out and feeling out of touch with yourself. And my problem is living in the future.
Yeah.
Worrying about the future.
I'm going to agree with that.
So the cure for this condition is what so many people have been saying all along, they say, which is...
conscious awareness and a commitment to staying in the now.
Stay in the now.
Living in the present moment is the solution to the problem you may not have known you had.
So no more worrying about money for me.
That's
if
right.
We go bankrupt, it doesn't matter because I'm living in the now.
You should be living in the now. Dog tip for life.
It was like you said dog.
I did. D-A-W-G.
Yo, dog.
Yo, dog, what's up?
That's our dog tip.
So Sparty says, there is no past and there is no future.
Oh.
There's only the now.
Is he doing Yoda, Spartan?
No.
Past is not.
Because he would say, past there is not. Yes, exactly.
Now is only.
And
only
he said, now. It doesn't matter. You don't have to think more than outside of the now. You just do what you want to do. If you want to sleep, take a nap. If you hear somebody go in the pantry, go beg for a snack.
Man, must be so nice to be a dog.
No joke. If you need to go poop, go scratch on the door. Or just poop in the living room floor.
No, our doggies don't do that.
No, they don't do
They're
that.
They're good doggies.
I was going to say, if you want to deal with a little bit of yelling and the screaming.
You know, you got to live in the now, but I'm going to have to disagree a tiny bit with Sparty. You got to think about the cause and effect of things.
Yes.
A little bit. You just don't want to get obsessed with it like me.
Oh, you mean you don't just be, like, impulsive?
Yeah, you don't want to be, like, so impulsive that you go to jail, or you ruin all your relationships, or you go bankrupt when you care about money.
Well, like, I think even our dogs actually do put a little thought into consequences. You know? I'll have to agree with that.
Yeah. Do you think fear is just how the emotion... people learn because of consequence, like to know, like, you know, because they say dogs fear.
I think for humans, it's a lot deeper than that.
I don't know.
Because then you would be saying a lot of people have no fear of consequences. But I think sometimes the real problem is they have issues with thinking about the consequences or how it affect or how they might affect other human beings. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think there's kind of separate things. I wasn't saying it was all.
But for a lot, probably the majority of people, yes, fear
of the consequences.
Is exactly.
Just like Pogi won't take the food out of my hand if I'm sitting on the couch because she knows the consequence will be going in her kennel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because but she's not afraid of going in the kennel, so I don't actually know if fear is a motivating factor there.
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting, actually.
She definitely doesn't mind being in the kennel anymore.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh. I don't know. Your guests will have to figure it out.
I think it's just love that motivates our dogs.
Love that motivates all of us, except for Sean. And then it's just teaching.
Sex.
Huh. Shiny.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. Just like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.